Welcome to Catalyze, the Connected Leaders Academy virtual conference designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Well, hello there. I'm Brian Kent. Today, I would like to talk with you about scaling your business through relationship management. Over the last 20 years, I've worked with small, mid-sized businesses and actually a couple of Fortune 100s to actually look at the way they treat the relationships across their companies and how they will actually use those relationships to expand the business and scale the business as they look 360 degrees within their organization and then use that same type of methodology to look at both their vendors and their customers. Over the past 20 years, I've spent quite a bit of time just taking care of my own personal education and actually coaching folks for the education they need for their business. So I took it seriously. I trained myself to be a board member. I went to school to actually be an ISO 9000 auditor. I went to school to learn the finances pieces. So therefore, I really wanted to understand all the facets of business so that as I was talking to individuals or owners, entrepreneurs, and managers, I could talk to them in a way that I understood the education and I understood the business. I've owned and operated 12 different companies, sold two or three, still currently have several companies. One of my sales actually took me into a Fortune 100 company where I actually was in charge of global operations, which covered about 17 time zones. So I definitely used that to look at my customs, my cultures, and my relationships. And I think that is a key and pivotal piece to the way we do business today. One of the things as you're building your business, we definitely recommend focusing on how you're providing the value, right? Secondly, as you're looking at the business and you're looking at how you're structuring your business, don't be afraid to pivot. There's a couple of the bases that you have to have on how to structure so you can get that foundation to grow. Next thing I'd say is don't be afraid to fail. And then also stay focused. If you're collecting data, stay focused on the data you're collecting. And if it's not worth keeping, stop collecting it and collect the data you need to be successful. Next, build a strong team. The team around you is the people that you need or are the people that you need to make sure that you have the capabilities, the strength, and the knowledge to move in the direction you want to. And last, take action. Failure to make a decision is a decision. Only you as the leader have delegated that decision to someone else to make on your behalf. Next thing we want to talk about is the organizational structure. Over the years, I've watched a lot of companies or a lot of people build organizational charts. They build business plans. They take a plain piece of paper and they start drawing on it. I encourage people, if you want to get the right butt in the right seat, you need to do a functional org chart. In other words, write down all the functions that you need for the company. As you're moving forward, make sure you adjust the functional chart. Don't just move people around based on their skills or based on the way you think the company should be organized. Do it by function. So therefore, you keep the company structured and organized where it can scale. And as you add more capability or more tasks to the company, you're continuing to strengthen from the foundation as you grow the company. Next, make sure as you're looking at the functions, you understand the qualifications that you want every person to have and the capability. I have made a chart for myself for all the companies that I have. Down the left-hand side of the chart, I write down the functions or all the tasks, and then I go back to every employee, even if it's a new employee through the interview, and we write down the right side of the piece of paper, exactly how they meet that qualification. So therefore, at the end of the day, if there's a blank on the right-hand side, I know as the owner or the manager that I have to actually either train this individual or they have to get training on their own so that they can stay compliant with what we need them to do as in the company. as you look at this piece, it also helps you have better communication, because if your people are not trained properly, then you're not having the right communication and the right dialogue for the task you're asking them to do. So I find it very important for the right butt in the right seat with the right skills, not just your friends and family. The next thing I like to cover is how relationship management handles business development. Many of us, especially those of you probably watching this, when you're talking about business development or sales, we say sales covers a lot of sins. Well, as we're looking at our sales, we need to understand too how the relationships tie our people to our vendors or to our customers. Those individual salespeople or those individual operations managers build relationships with your customers, or they build relationships with your vendors. And you, as an owner or manager, if you're not paying attention to that, you may think something could be changed or work differently, but it may be about the relationship that your company has with another company that's making success work. So as you understand the relationships for your people, you'll also start to understand the relationship with some of the business development. As a wise person once says, our enemies don't buy from us. Our friends do. So it's that relationship piece as we look at the business development. In that, I like to summarize business development in three transactions. I always recommend, as I'm coaching, to look for the man. And of course, in this case, the man is an acronym. All contractual relationships have three transactions or three functions in the transaction. The first one is who has the money in the organization. As companies grow, normally the money is controlled by one department or by one or a few individuals. There's usually somebody that is influential in exactly how the money's moved. The second part of the acronym, the A, who has the authority or the fiduciary responsibility within the company to spend it or to commit the company contractually? So that's the money for the M. The A is the authority. And the last thing, who's got the need? A lot of times we're talking to an operations manager, or we're talking to someone down within the company, or we're talking to somebody that works in the finance office, or we're talking to someone in one of the verticals of the company, but they may be the person with the need, and even though they need it, they can't buy it or they can't commit the company. So therefore, as you're doing your business development, you're looking at the structure of how you're trying to capture the business, hold your business people accountable to understanding the man. Because if they can explain the man to you, then they can explain how you're going to be able to interface with the company, because they are going to be able to build the relationship with those one to three individuals within the company that you're trying to sell to. And that's going to allow you to scale. The next piece, when you're building the man, sometimes those three people might be in leadership positions and they're guarded against just having meetings. So therefore, the other people you want to look for is that first inner ring around the man. I call those key influencers. Sometimes if you can get to a key influencer, he can kind of help you understand how the company that you're trying to sell to is designed. So you can figure out, are there certain quarters of the year they buy certain items? What does their functional or their fiscal year look like? Or do they go off of a calendar year for their budget? Do they lay out all new sales in June? Understanding that through the key influencers and through the man helps you as an individual, a salesperson, or a company understand how to get into the ecosystem of those individuals or those companies that you would like to buy from you. Next thing is, now that we know who the man is, and now that you can actually know what your skill set for your employees and the capabilities that they have, now you can set these goals, right? Because you should understand now the capability we have within house, and we understand what we want our customers to, or how our customers are buying from us. So now we can actually set those goals to where we can hold our employees accountable. We can give them good metrics. And as many have talked about, or you've probably studied in any business, you can set up, call them SMART goals. But the bottom line is to set metrics so that your employees know, as you're looking at the metrics in every quarter, if they're not meeting the mark, they know up front. So therefore, if it's time to let them go because they're not fitting in or they're not keeping up with their vertical, they should know they're not meeting it. So therefore, there should be no problem with the communication. And then the last piece to that is, as if you're doing this communication with your employees, you get confirmation back. Do they understand what you're asking them to do? Do they understand how you're going to measure? And also, too, if they have the relationship with the companies or with the buyers for your company, it's really good to understand that also, because if your measurement is off, they should be able to tell you it's off and why it's off. So therefore, you can collect the right data and you can adjust your metrics for success for not only the salesperson or the operations person, but for the whole company. The next piece we want to talk about is the growth plan. How does that work? How do we hold accountability? How do we build the company experience? One of the things I like to do is set a communications plan as part of the growth plan. So therefore, we understand how we're going to target the market that we want to go after. If you're looking at that market, I like to look at it in four quadrants. Who are we doing business with now that we can expand? Who are we doing business with now that we can introduce new products to? The third one is, who's a new customer that we can take our existing capability to? And then I'll call it the home run quadrant, is who's a new customer and who do we want to try our new product on? If you look at those four quadrants in the map or in the chart, you can then make a decision financially and with good data on where you want to spend your marketing dollars and where you want your salespeople to spend their time. Do we want to stay in quadrant one? Do we want our current customer to just buy more from us? Or do we have the relationship with our current customer so we can expand there and bring me and introduce another product or another service? And then, of course, from that, once we know our strengths, we can go to new clients, which will be quadrant three. And in quadrant three, we could lay out to the new client what our skills and capabilities are. And it's easy to sell or talk about how we fit in there. Because one, if we back up, we follow the man, we know how they buy. So we know how we would interface with them. And then, of course, you got to try the home run every now and then. You got to try a new company and a new organization to just put to try something new and see if you can break new ground or break new market. But that communication up and down the company is key to understanding which one of the quadrants you want to do your business development sales in. Last thing, which I think, or not the last thing, but one of the piece that I've talked about some about the relationships is the communication. We want good communication, not only within the company or within your team, but we need the whole company to understand from finance, operations, and sales. We need to understand how each one of the departments moves, the structure, the data we need, how we want to share the information. And then the second thing we want to do is for our customers and our vendors, who do we want to have the communications responsibility with the customer? Is it your director? Is it one of our sales folks? Is it one of the operations managers? If it's all three to touch one of your clients, who's going to handle which piece of the conversation? Because what you don't want is two people from the same company working with a company and we haven't defined our lanes for communication. The last thing too, or the next thing on that piece is the contract relationship. How are we going to contractually interface with them? So therefore, if we have an agreement with them, we don't have two of our operational people just making a decision and now the company has a deliverable that one is not contractually written up, or two, salespeople sometimes get overly aggressive. And now they've committed to you to something that you can't do. So it's key to make sure we have the communication and how we're going to communicate both contractually and in our face-to-face with our clients. As we look at communication and decision-making, one of the key things I like to coach is an authorities matrix. Everyone that's in a profit and loss or a profit center or a cost center should know the authorities by which they can commit, where they can make a decision to tell one of the folks in contracting move forward, or if it's not within their authority to do so. Some companies do it by scope, Some companies do it by dollar figure or thresholds of dollar. It's up to you as the owner or the manager of the company, as you're looking at your policies and procedures, to make sure you have a good authorities matrix so that everyone in the company understands who can approve what and when. It's kind of like looking at the electric car in the U.S. The electric car goes from the manufacturing of the car to the electric grid. And the same person in the same department doesn't have authority to do it all. So we want to make sure if you're responsible for the car, you know what your responsibilities are and where they stop and start. If you're responsible for the infrastructure, you need to know where your responsibilities stop and start. So therefore, we make sure we have cross-department communication and we have our interdepartmental communication, because this is key, because the relationships there and understanding where it's nice and clean and how it's going to be structured keeps the confusion down and also lets you, through the relationship, bring things up. So if conversation gets heated, you don't have this piece fall off the table or the company is now losing money because we don't know who had the responsibility and why. Next thing, customer and vendor visits. We always want to have at least one or two layers above a program manager to have conversations with our customers, because we want to understand within the customer base. When an executive comes into another executive, sometimes there are strategic things that come out in that conversation that an operations manager may not know about his company. So therefore, I always recommend you have multiple entry points into your customers again, but it's just got to be deconflicted. And I always recommend those visits be face-to-face, because sometimes executives can get tied up with Zoom, or they have so many Zooms, or they're multitasking during the Zoom, that you don't get that true relationship building to make the two companies stronger and have a better relationship. The next piece I like to cover for all the businesses is a financial management. Sometimes as operations people or as business development folks, we don't understand the financial management piece to us trying to push for scale. In our scaling, as we look at it, we need to understand for our sales and business development, what does that scaling mean to operations? Do we have enough people? Do we have the right people? Have we went and sold something now that we need to go get a different type of person to help us round out the team? We need to understand that. So we also go to financing and those pieces. Is it subcontracted? Do we do it in-house? What is the plan that as the sales department is trying to put it together, put it on the street? How are they working with your operations folks and your finance folks to make sure the total plan is delivered to a customer? Because nobody's more frustrated than when you deliver a plan, your customer thinks he understands the plan, and as soon as the project kicks off, the sales guy has sold something that the operations guy can't deliver. Again, understand what the plan is so we understand how we can scale and how we have to bring in additional assets for the scaling. In operations and business development, this kind of clarity is essential for the finance department, because cash flow is king. As many people know, many companies go out of business. It's not because they're not making a good product. It's because they don't have the cash or the financing to keep the company going. So if we sell something and we're going to have a cash outlay for that, even if a service, if there's going to be travel involved, there's going to be some type of, you know, capability we have to bring in-house to get us ready for that position or that task, we need to make sure the financial projections are given to your financial office and you're able to explain how that's going to work, how it's going to be delivered. So therefore, we don't have a discussion after the award of a contract or after we've been hired that now the finance folks have whiplash because they have to figure out how to go get the money and put it together. The last piece for the finance departments is you should have a relationship with your business development departments and your operations folks. If things change in our taxes or in anything in the company, you need to be able to articulate that to the folks in the company to where they understand what you need to be successful for the company. We don't want to ever have an opportunity fall flat on the floor because we didn't have the communication. So again, this is a relationship that we need. It's not just the people, but we need the structures and the dialogue and all of that where the whole team works as a whole to scale. Now, for the communication on the finances that are outside of the company that we have to be aware of, who gets to vote? Well, as the company's growing, banks get to vote. You might not get your operating line as fast as you want. You might not get the rates that you want. That relationship, if you're a controller or a CFO, interview banks, stay attuned to the banks. There's nothing wrong with having two or three banks. As you grow, banks have different programs that you would meet that today might be Bank A, you work great for. You double in revenue next year, you might need a different bank because they have better programs for you. Second, open communication with all of your lenders. If you're forecasting something, let them know if you have financial requirements that are coming up. That communication back and forth with who's helping you keep the cash flow of the company together outside, whether you're maybe it's an investor. Keep the stakeholders up to date with what you need with revenue. Two things that we can't always control, regulation and taxes. They can be critical to a company if we're not paying attention. A story I had one time was the guys were driving the Pepsi trucks and the Frito-Lay trucks, and the EPA had made a decision on gas. And, or I'm sorry, not gas, but fuel tanks at gas stations. The vendors had kicked the, or EPA had kicked the can down the road for about 20 years. And finally they said, okay, here's the date. But a lot of mom and pop organizations could not afford at that time now to change out those tanks. So all of a sudden you're driving your routes, you drive up to the store A or B and the tank is closed. There's nobody there. The tank's closed. Now you can't sell. That's affected your business. Also, watch for your state and local taxes. Those things change. A lot of times people are paying attention to the federal, but they don't always pay attention to those things that are not taxes. They're fees, et cetera. So those are all folks that get to have a vote on you. So as I'm closing, let's make sure we understand we have the right butt in the right seat, right? We want to make sure we're using a functional org chart so we can write down the functions of the company and exactly how that's going to, we're going to use it to hire so we have the right people. Next, we want to have that communication on how we're going to do our business development, how we're going to have the communication from business development and operations and finance. It's key that we understand how the SOPs and how the crosstalk are going to work. Next thing is once we have that communication, we have the right people, now we can set the incentives and we can set the goals to hold people accountable. And the last piece is always know who gets them to vote on your finances, on your taxes, who gets a vote with how the money in the company is being controlled and how we're going to do it. And then from the finance department, don't forget, you're just as responsible for your BD and your operations folks. Let them know what you need. If we follow that, we have great communication. We have open communication. We start building relationships across the company with our vendors and our suppliers and our customers. The business can scale. So through those relationship managements, you can scale your business to success.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session of Catalyze. As we transition to our next expert, remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.